followers of Jesus are called to pursue love that arises out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith.
You're listening to Wonder Lake Bible Church, building mature followers of Jesus Christ. Find us online at wlbiblechurch.org. Now, here's Pastor Dan Cox with today's message.
Well, folks, we are starting a new series today in 1 Timothy and Titus. Before we do that, I'd like us to think for just a moment about this concept of vain discussion. If something is vain, it means it's what? That it's empty, it's worthless, it's useless. And do we have any folks here who like to engage in good conversation, good discussions, right? And there are many discussions, conversations we can have that are full of life and wisdom, instruction and joy and peace. And then there are some discussions that we can have that are vain, they're unprofitable, they're useless, they're worthless, right? Well, we're going to talk about a church where there was a whole lot of vain discussion going on and not enough love going on. As I said, we're starting a new series in 1 Timothy and Titus, focused here on godly life and leadership, where we see that true faith, real faith, genuine faith in Jesus results in visible change in the lives of those who believe it. You know, that if we are truly followers of Jesus, and all of us, who here is a work in progress? Anybody besides me? Okay. We're all works in progress, aren't we? But if we are truly followers of Jesus, it's going to show in our lives, isn't it? And if there's no evidence, no fruit of that, and who's the final judge on all that, by the way? God is, Jesus, right? But if there's no visible change in the lives who believe it, you might want to question whether that's a real or a genuine faith at all. And that's not my opinion, that's what Scripture says. So all of us then have a responsibility, not just leadership, all of us though have a responsibility then to guard against false teaching, wrong teaching in the church, and embrace sincere teaching, sincere faith, real faith, and the godly attitudes, the godly speech, the godly behavior that arises out of that. So these books we're going to look at here in 1 Timothy and Titus, they contain some wise instruction from a mature saint in the faith, the Apostle Paul, as he is writing to some young spiritual leaders, Timothy and Titus. And he is impressing upon them the need to guard against false teaching, that a good spiritual leader has a special responsibility to uphold sound doctrine, but also then to model genuine life-changing faith in Jesus Christ. So you might think, well, I'm not a pastor. This letter isn't for me. Well, yes, it is. This letter is for all who would follow the Lord Jesus Christ, that all of us are called to hold fast to sound doctrine and to model genuine Christian faith. So, as we said, the author is Paul, the apostle, writing about 65 AD, so it's about 30 years or so after the death and resurrection of Jesus. And he's writing to a young pastor in the church at Ephesus named Timothy. And he's writing because he wants to encourage Timothy to stand firm against false teaching and to model godly Christian living. And in doing so, he's advising them on how best to exercise spiritual leadership in the church. So our first message in this series here then today is this concept here of vain discussion versus love. Has God joined us together here in this body so that we can engage in useless chatter and false doctrine and teaching? He has gathered us together to be built up in sound doctrine, and the result of that being what? Love. Life-changing love. Hope. So followers of Jesus then, and that would be, I hope all of us here, I know it's many of us here, I pray it's all of us here, that the followers of Jesus are called to pursue love that arises out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. We're looking at 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 11. As I said, Paul is writing to this young pastor, Timothy, in the church at Ephesus. And Timothy was being assailed on all fronts by false teachers who were attacking him, attacking Paul, attacking the doctrine of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Exactly what all the content of that false teaching was, we know, but it was a denial of the faith, the gospel that Paul had brought to them. And so he's writing then to encourage Timothy to stand firm in right doctrine, to persevere in godly leadership, to be an example to the flock, to be an example of true life-changing faith. So let's look here at 1 Timothy chapter 1, starting in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by command of God our Savior, and of Christ Jesus our hope, to Timothy, my true child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. As I urged you when I was going to Macedonia, remain at Ephesus, so that you may charge certain persons not to teach any different doctrine, nor to devote themselves to myths and endless genealogies which promote speculations rather than the stewardship from God that is by faith. The aim of our charge is love that issues from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. Certain persons, by swerving from these, have wandered away into vain discussion, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make confident assertions. Now, we know that the law is good if one uses it lawfully. Understanding this, that the law is not laid down for the just, but for the lawless and the disobedient, for the ungodly and sinners, for the unholy and profane, for those who strike their fathers and mothers, for murderers, the sexually immoral, men who practice homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, in accordance with the gospel of the glory of the blessed God with which I have been entrusted. So a growing follower of Jesus Christ, first off, I want us to see in this text, that growing follower learns from others and teaches others. Where do you see that there? You see what Paul, an apostle to Timothy, Paul is the seasoned spiritual leader, a mature man, an apostle of Christ Jesus. He had been called to that task by Jesus Christ on the road to Damascus. And Paul had endured great hardship, hadn't he? But he had endured faithfully. And not only then was Paul desirous of preaching the gospel to people who had not heard it, he also then was focused on, intent on, building up and strengthening the believers, the church. By the way, those two go hand in hand. They're both important. One isn't more important than the other, is it? Evangelism, proclaiming the gospel, building up the church, believers, edification, both of them absolutely critical. Right? Paul was committed to both of those. And he did it not only in a public way, but also in a more private, personal, one-on-one fashion. That he had individuals in his life that he mentored, that he was a spiritual example or leader to them. Paul was a mentor to Timothy. Timothy had a special place in his heart and was a spiritual son to him. And I think we see in this that here is a great example for all of us. You know, it's been said, do you have a Paul in your life? Do you have a Timothy in your life? Meaning what? Is there someone in your life from whom you have learned, who has been a spiritual example to you, who has taught you, instructed you, a Paul to you? Well, that's good. I hope you do, right? You know, I can think of, and it wasn't just one. There have been a number of folks who have served that purpose over the years. But, you know, I think of one in particular. His name is Dr. Bob, that he was critical to me in high school, my high school years, and then in subsequent years after that, in college and seminary. He's with the Lord now. He went home to the Lord a couple of years ago. But he was critical to me in helping me sort through tough questions, tough Bible questions, tough theology questions, tough philosophical quandaries, tough life questions, tough ministry. By the way, do you think I ever called him about when I was pastor here and there was something going on and I didn't know what to do about it? And I called? You bet. He was very important to me. It's important for all of us to have someone like that in our lives. If you don't, pray for it. But then it's also important to have someone who's coming along beside under you, who's younger than you in the faith, and whom you can instruct and teach. Now, I know when you're brand new in the faith, well, you're the student, period, right? But at some point, we reproduce, right? And we help to build others up into maturity in Jesus. Do you have a Paul? Do you have a Timothy in your life? Growing followers of Jesus learn from others and they teach others. Growing followers of Jesus then stand firm. Stands firm against false teaching. Paul is encouraging Timothy here to charge certain persons in the congregation not to teach false doctrines which were contrary to the gospel Paul had taught them. Now I think with here, and then we look at something he says elsewhere in this letter here, I think who were these people? Sometimes these false teachers would come from without. They would come into the church. They were traveling teachers, if you will. And you got to watch out for that. But I think, sadly, you know what's going on here is that there were some who had arisen from among them. Paul even warned against this, that these were folks who had been teachers. These were teachers, elders in the church, who had now gone astray and wandered away from the faith. I think, oh, that's impossible. An elder could never stray away from the faith and start teaching false doctrine, right? I wish that was true, but it's not. And so these were men who had wandered away. Perhaps they were once respected teachers in that. But they were now teaching false things. They had gotten consumed or obsessed with, which says what? Myths and endless genealogies. It's probably something having to do with Old Testament scripture and teaching, a focus and obsession on finding spiritual significance in genealogical lists and that. We don't know exactly what it, but whatever it was useless. And it just resulted in vain speculations. It wasn't building anybody up in the faith. So he says, Timothy, and we know from other passages too that Timothy, he was a young man, and he may very well have been intimidated by them because they were older than he was. But he says, Timothy, you need to do this. Charge and tell, knock it off. Stop teaching this garbage. Because they were empty of any spiritual value. And they only led to further speculation, questions, and arguments. Fortunately, we don't ever have that problem in the church today, do we? Do we ever have issues of false doctrine that come up in the church of today? We sure do. By the way, do we need to be diligent here at Wonder Lake Bible Church about that? Absolutely. Absolutely. Do you need to come to me if I start wandering away and start spouting? You better. It's also, and I don't want to go off on a tangent here, but you know me, I will for just a little bit. Sometimes, you know, what can happen is there can be this. Here, Paul is talking about false doctrine, false teachings, okay? But is it possible, though, too, that sometimes in the church, we can have right doctrine. We can be discussing right doctrine, solid teaching, but we can approach it and have an attitude of it toward where it becomes vain discussion,
yes,
empty talk, pointless speculation, devoid of anything of real spiritual value that is helping people to edify them and grow them? Sure can. We got to be careful of that too. Because the goal of all instruction is not further speculation. The aim or the goal of all instruction is love, godly love, life change that comes from what? A pure heart, a good conscience. What else? A pure heart, a good conscience, and what? A sincere faith. Real deal faith. Genuine, sincere, non-hypocritical, real deal faith. The biblical gospel that was entrusted to them and has been entrusted to us. You see, the real gospel, when it is properly understood and believed, results in change in us, doesn't it? And one of those changes is love. Love. Love for God, for Jesus, love for one another. It's a selfless love, which is seen in God's love. See, some of these false teachers, they were motivated by worthless curiosity. But Paul's instruction was designed to promote that most magnificent of all virtues, love, by maintaining the purity of the gospel, right teaching, which rightly understood, believed, and obeyed, results in change. It comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, a sincere faith. Do all of us have perfectly pure hearts in here?
No.
No.
Not yet.
But there's a difference, and we will, won't we? But there's a difference between someone who has a heart which is pure toward the Lord and is growing in purity versus someone whose heart is not at all pure, isn't there? Pure heart. A good conscience. Does everybody in here have a clear conscience? I hope something's bothering you, okay? And in a good sense, because if nothing, absolutely nothing is bothering you, yeah, that's. I bet there's something you know that God is putting His hand on. But we should never become obsessed with rooting out, trying to feel guilty about something, right? We let the Holy Spirit do His work in us, right? But a good conscience then is one that is clear before the Lord because it's responsive to Him when He puts His finger on certain things in our lives. And a sincere faith, real deal faith, the biblical gospel, without hypocrisy or falseness. So the growing follower then embraces godly love and also then perseveres in right teaching and godly living. Love is the goal of all Christian ministry. We read about that in 1 Corinthians 13 a little earlier here this morning. But sadly, though, some in the congregation, some who had even been teachers, lost sight of this and wandered away. In fact, as we go a little further, Paul named names. Sometimes people have wondered, should we name names of false teaching, false teachers? Well, Paul didn't have any trouble doing it. Right? We should. So these folks, they wanted to become respected teachers of the law. And in reality, all they had done is completely misunderstood the law and began to use it unlawfully because a growing follower of Jesus understands the right use of God's law. What is God's law? He's referring to the Word of God, to Scripture. The law, the written Word of God. So see, the law, can the commandments, and specifically he's kind of honing in here on the Ten Commandments here, when he gives some examples of people who of disobeying those Ten Commandments, what that looks like. Says, you know, the law, does that save anyone? Does it? Does the law help you to do the right? No, in fact, the law actually is powerful. It can condemn us, doesn't it? See, the purpose of the law, what God says is right and wrong, was never to save you or me, because it can't do that. All it does is show us our need for a Savior, right? It shows us where we're wrong. It shows us our sin, convicts us of our sin. We need a Savior. We need God's grace, don't we? So a good teacher of the law understands that and doesn't use the law as a jumping-off point for vain discussion, pointless speculation that edifies no one. The law simply reveals that people, that sinful people are sinners. Some of these have to do with what's called the first table of the law, our relationship to God. And then some of it is the second table of the law in those Ten Commandments, our relationship with others. So you see these things here then. Whether it's the lawless, disobedient, ungodly, sinners, unholy, and profane. It's those first four commandments of the Ten Commandments. And then Paul touches on some of the others. Those who strike their fathers and mothers, what, that's dishonoring their parents, right? Murderers, sexual immorality, practicing homosexuality, enslavers, liars, perjurers, whatever else is contrary to sound doctrine, our relationships with others. The law shows us how far we fall short of God's glory in all of those things. It's not a source for vain discussion. It shows us the truth. But when we are in Jesus Christ, we are no longer under the law. We now are men and women of grace. Grace in the Lord Jesus then. So Timothy, stop that stuff. Charge them. Stop that in the church. Because the goal of our instruction isn't vain discussion and misuse of the law. The goal of our instruction is love, godly love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, a sincere faith. So what? What do I do with that here today? I remind us that followers of Jesus are called to pursue love, not to engage in vain discussion, but pure love. Pursue love that arises out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. So I'd ask, are you a Timothy to someone? Are you a Paul? Do you have a Paul in your life? Do you have a Timothy in your life? Are you Timothy to someone? Are you Paul to someone? We need one another, don't we? Are you standing firm in right doctrine? Spiritual leaders in the church have a particular responsibility to discern and to guard against that. But that isn't just for the leader. All of us need to practice discernment, don't we? And stand firm in right doctrine, right teaching. Finally, then, are you pursuing godly love? Because the goal of our instruction, now the goal of Wonder Lake Bible Institute is vain discussion, okay? I'm kidding, okay? I'm kidding about that. No, it is not. But sometimes in Wonder Lake Bible Institute, our morning classes and our repeat class, sometimes we get into some interesting speculation and that. And that's okay, right? But is that the goal of our instruction, just to have discussions and speculate about things? No, the goal is what? Is to grow in our faith, to honor the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring glory to Him, to grow as disciples, and what? To grow in love.
Do everything in love,
right. To pursue godly love. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for our hope that we have in Jesus Christ. Thank you for the love that you have poured out on us in him. Lord, I am inadequate. I do not love as I am commanded. But Lord, you are a gracious and merciful God. You forgive my sin, my shortcoming, my failure. So Lord, we thank you that you are abundantly gracious to us, grace upon grace. We have all fallen far short of your glory. We do not love as you've called us to. I pray, Lord, that we would grow in love for you, in love for one another, and we thank you, Lord, that you are merciful and patient with us. Lord, may the goal of our instruction, of our learning, always be to pursue love out of a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for listening to today's message. For more information about Wonder Lake Bible Church, visit wlbiblechurch.org.